This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by college football analyst Taylor McGarg. You can see him on CBS, ESPN, Big 12 Now, all over the place. You can follow him on Twitter, too, at TMcGarg. 1-6. Taylor, the college football playoff committee came out with their second to last rankings yesterday. Whenever you saw it for the first time, what was your initial reaction, your biggest takeaway?
Not too many surprises, other than I think the loss for Miami against SMU, the longer this season has played out, the more I think it's ridiculous that Miami is behind Notre Dame. Why do we play these games if you have two teams that are similar, everything. You look at every metric down the line for Notre Dame and for Miami, both with two losses, and that Miami beat them head-to-head. I think Miami should be ahead of them. I think the other one that stands out to me is BYU. This is the first time since 2014 that we have had in these college football rankings a team from a power conference finish at 11-1 and not be in the top 10. So I think Alabama – the last thing I would say on this, I would have BYU ahead of Alabama, because I don't think we've really taken into consideration that loss that Alabama has against Florida State enough. And BYU's done everything that they were supposed to outside of losing to a top four team in Texas Tech. And it looks like they're on the outside looking in unless they beat Texas Tech this week. So I think I'll say Texas making all sorts of noise about sitting there at 9-3. It's not worthy of being a playoff team, but I understand why Steve Sarkisian and that fan base are up in arms and trying to politic for why they should be in. But overall, outside of those kind of handful of things, it went about how I expected.
What do you think the response to this from these conferences? Is it immediate, like we need expansion? Because we know they're discussing it right now. Or do you think they'll be okay with the 12? Like, what's the fallout from the way the rankings are shaking out this year?
No, I think there will absolutely be expansion, and I think part of that also goes to when you've expanded these conferences to where they're beyond 10 and 12 teams, up to 16 teams, you end up in a scenario with like a Texas A&M, for example, that in conference play, you know, they beat up on the bottom of the league, and then they play one team in the top half of the SEC, and they lose on the road at Texas. I think there's teams on the outside looking in, like a Vanderbilt, for example, that with two losses – probably a playoff-worthy team, but doesn't look like they're going to get in. And I also think we've got a potential here that there's a chance the ACC doesn't make it into the college football playoff at all. Now, I will be stunned if that's what ends up happening. I'm convinced that the ACC, if Duke wins, that they will get in over JMU. But the way it's set up right now, it's the top – conference champions. It doesn't guarantee that the top P4 champions are all in. So right now it would be the winner of the American. It would be JMU if they were to beat Troy on Friday night. And then the ACC, if Duke were to win, you would have no ACC champion in, and Miami wouldn't be in as an at-large. And if that happens, you're going to absolutely see them rectify this and change it in the offseason.
How would you fix it? You're the commissioner of college football. What would be your fix?
As much as I love the group of five, I don't think there's any reason. The group of five does not need to have multiple teams in the playoff. And I played at Rice. I love group of five football, but the ACC, these power conferences, we don't need to kid ourselves and say that we need two group of five teams in over teams on the outside looking in from that, let's say, you know, the 11 spot all the way to the 16-17 spot. I think that's, I would start there. I would also expand the playoff to 16 teams. I think that feels like more of a that to me is where we should end up landing here, because I also, just selfishly as a fan, I love the home playoff games. I think if you added another layer of that, those have been so good for the sport. And the number of teams that we talk about now that are playing relevant football in the month of November, in my opinion, is healthy for the sport. But I think 16 is probably the right number. I think that's what we're going to get to. And, you know, we'll see if that's next year or if that's down the line. But I would be stunned if it stays at 12 for much longer.
What's the game you're looking forward to the most of all the conference championship games this weekend?
That's a great question. I will be at BYU and Texas Tech doing some work for the Big 12, and I'm excited to see BYU with a chance to try to play their way into the college football playoff for a team that, you know, they were shell-shocked when they went to Lubbock a few weeks ago, end up losing 29-7, and anybody that watched that game, I think, would tell you, you know, it should not have been that close. Texas Tech struggled in the red zone, but by and large, they dominated that game, and BYU scores late. Otherwise, I mean, they were close to staring a shutout in the face. So I'm excited to see if BYU can get themselves off the mat, and what does that look like? The one that I think has the Heisman implications is the Big Ten. I think the winner of that game, that quarterback in all likelihood ends up being your Heisman winner between Mendoza and Sayan at Ohio State. Those are your heavyweights. Those are two of the top, I don't know, if they're not the two best teams, they're in the top three or four best teams in the country if you factor in everybody else in the country. But those two probably at the top. I think we all probably have some fatigue of seeing Georgia and Alabama in the Georgia Dome, or in Mercedes-Benz, I should say. I feel like we've seen that game 10 times in the last 5 years. But, you know, it's always fireworks when those two teams play.
Taylor McGard joining us on the HR&P guest line. You brought it up earlier, you know, maybe not looking at that Florida State loss for Alabama as closely as we should. What if they get beat by 21 points against Georgia? Should they still be in?
So this is it's a great question, and it's one that we actually talked about on Inside the 12 today. What's best case scenario for BYU if they were to lose? In my opinion, if Alabama were to lose by 3-plus scores, just like you said, if Georgia runs away with it and Alabama's not competitive, and BYU were to lose on a last-second field goal to Texas Tech, or they lose close on the neutral site, I would put Alabama in over I would put BYU in over Alabama. And I understand the logic where people say, okay, well, you don't want to punish teams that have played in a conference championship game. And I agree with that. But if you're measuring them for a playoff spot against a team that is also playing in their conference championship, I think that's a different case. I would not promote somebody in over a team that has lost their conference championship if they were already in. But to me, that's the only case really that BYU probably has. I don't think they're going to jump Notre Dame, who obviously is not playing this weekend. But if Alabama were to lose, just like you said, by multiple scores, and BYU were to lose close, I think there's a chance that the committee would put BYU in.
Where does Penn State go from here?
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question. And it feels like that was a team that, for a while, you gave them the benefit of the doubt, right? All of these different pieces start to fall into place and guys are going in different directions. And because it's Penn State, I think you give them the benefit of the doubt and assume, okay, they've got something up their sleeve that they're going to, there's going to be a splashy hire here. They're going to go get somebody that will look up at the end and say, okay, they had a plan all along. I'm not sure they do. I think you saw the report from Todd McShay about Jimmy Sexton is blocking everything because he represents two-thirds of these coaches. I'm not sure how much stock I put in that. I think Penn State is still Penn State, and it's one of the top, you know, whatever you want to put it, 5 to 10 jobs in the sport. But it is interesting that they're still sitting here. They don't have a coach. They were dead last in recruiting rankings out of the Big Ten on the early signing day, which was today. I'm like everybody else. I have no insider information on what direction they're going. I'm sitting back and watching this saying, boy, this looks like it's got the potential to be, you know, kind of a continuation of this train wreck that this season has been.
Taylor McGarg joining us on the HR&P guest line. Taylor, I thought it was funny. You got into some hot water with the Texas Tech fans. You were asked, what is it going to take for West Virginia to beat Texas Tech? You said, if Baron Morton gets hurt, which, yeah, that's the only way they had a chance. Could you believe that reaction you got from the Red Raider faithful?
Boy, I got them going. And I, you know, apologize to Baron. I apologize to Joey. The answer was, gosh, does BYU, excuse me, does West Virginia have any chance in this game? And the answer really was no. Baron has been hurt throughout his career and, you know, touched on something that's obviously a very sensitive topic, and it did not come across great. But we had Joey on our show this morning and talked through it again with him. And yeah, I think we're all good. But, yeah, goodness gracious, don't get on the wrong side of the Red Raider faithful, man. They were blowing up my DMs for like 48 hours straight.
I said that once with the Texans about Lamar Jackson, and our junkies still give us a bunch of grief over that, or at least me a bunch of grief over that. But it's true. And, like, look, football players try to hit the quarterback. Like, you played the quarterback position. You know that. I don't think Will Anderson's going into the game like, how am I going to keep the quarterback safe? No, they're trying to punish them. We know that.
No, I think, look, again, the way that I delivered that message just came across really insensitive. And I think that's why I found myself on the receiving end of all the best from the faithful in Lubbock. And it was deserved. It was not my best. And like I said, I apologized. I did, when I played, there's a number of times where I played injured, and it was addressed by coaches in their press conferences that, hey, we got to get hits on this guy because, you know, he's got a shoulder, he's got an ankle, and, you know, we need to try to wear him out. That is part of the game. But, you know, it's also one of the things that fans don't want to hear that. And for Texas Tech having a special season and a guy that has been injured in his career, it was a point that, again, was trying to make this case that West Virginia really has got no shot in this game. When Baron Morton is healthy and plays, Texas Tech wins by 20 or more. And was trying to speak to their dominance and how good he's been, and that Texas Tech needs to keep him upright, keep him healthy, because when he's in and he's playing well, they're really hard to beat.
Last one I got for you here. I'm just curious. You're working for the Big 12, but went to Rice. But what's your impression of now 2 years into Willie Fritz? Jeremy, he's a Coug. I'm not. But I want to hear what you think about the Cougs and how quickly you think Willie Fritz is going to get this program into the college football playoff.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite coaches in the sport. I had their opener on that Thursday night at the very beginning of the season. And, you know, I said at the beginning of the year, if there was a team out of the Big 12 that I thought would have the biggest turnaround, I thought it would be Houston, because I knew, just going back to Willie Fritz's time at Tulane and what Connor Wegman brought to the table, it felt like that was an opportunity for Wegman to get right under a system that Coach Fritz is a player's coach and does such a good job with getting the best players on the field, maximizing their talent, and getting buy-in from his players. And I think that's what you saw out of Houston this year. And I love it. Look, I went to Rice. I know that's whatever, our rival, whatever. I don't care. I think it's awesome that Houston has a guy like Willie Fritz that has that program going in the direction that it is. And absolutely think if Houston can land some key pieces in the portal, they need to get a little more explosive on the offensive side. I thought that was the one area that they struggled this year, was relied way too often on having to, you know, grind out 10-play drives, 12-play drives. If they can hit on some portal pieces, on finding some explosiveness on the offensive side, yeah, this absolutely can be a team that competes for the Big 12 and is knocking on the door. They were knocking on the door of the college football playoff this year. Going back to the beginning of November, they had a chance, if they had won out, to be in the Big 12 championship. So love what Coach Fritz is doing, and I'm a huge fan of him.
Yeah, West Virginia hurt our quarterback. I'm just kidding. Taylor, you weren't insensitive about it either. Fans were just sensitive about the reaction. Great stuff as always. Enjoy championship weekend and safe travels to Arlington.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's Taylor McGarg, football analyst, ESPN, CBS, does some work with the Big 12 as well, former Rice Owl quarterback joining in too. So we got Taylor's idea on how he would fix college football. How would we fix college football? And is Joe willing to join me with a thought that I've had for a very long time? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. First, a moment, though, on Pro Dunk Hoops. Look, we're 22 days away from Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. You got 3 weeks. You got three weeks. And you know what the best Christmas gift is for he, for her, for them, the kids? It's a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. They're true, sincere, authentic, touch-off-the-glass backboard. Why? Because it's a tempered glass backboard. It gives you that true and authentic feel. It's got a breakaway rim. Why would you need that? I can't jump. You don't have any height. Your vertical leap's terrible. When you can lower the goal down to 5 feet, it's height-adjustable. Raise it up to 10 feet. You're going to do it in no time. Plus, they have their new goal, Thor. They got the lightning drill adjustment feature where you can just put the drill inside the goal, raise it all the way up to 10 feet, lower it down to 5 feet in no time. It's easy to do, it's fun to do, and it's idiot-proof for people like you and me. Stainless steel hardware, it's rust-proof, only the best at Pro Dunk. You're not going to want to waste your time in the big box stores and buying these cheap goals. These goals are going to break in no time. That doesn't happen with a goal from Pro Dunk. If you're going to do it right. Plus, their accessories are next level. LED light kits for night play. You're at work all day. Kids are at school. It gets dark earlier. You need these LED light kits. That way you can play throughout the night. Backstop nets, they got you covered there. You don't have to chase the basketball around, waste your time and energy. Pull pad lettering and lots, lots more that you can customize. Plus, you can order everything online, plus including professional installation. Yeah. The pros from Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal. Perfect height, perfect straight. You can't mess it up because the pros from Pro Dunk are going to do the installation for you. You don't have to be, you know, worried about a big box delivered to your driveway with a million pieces that you have to assemble. That's not going to happen with Pro Dunk. So get your goal now. Great Christmas idea. ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. We are Jeremy and Joe. So Joe said earlier, and I wanted to confront him about this, that he is officially in on 24 teams. He said he had some conditions, though. What are those conditions, Joe?
It's really simple. It's three teams from each conference. That's it. Not four.
Three teams from the Conference USA. Let's go.
No, from the Power Four. Oh. The Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, the SEC.
Even the ACC?
Yeah, three auto bids. That's all you get. Because I feel like it's that fourth team that sometimes we're going to question and say, does this team deserve it? And this year, you know, it plays out where all the teams would be in the top, all four teams of each conference would be in right now in a 24-team playoff. But I want to push that off a little bit. You got to get rid of the conference championship games.
Okay.
It's too much for these guys.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not too much for them.
It's too many games.
Come on.
It's too many games.
No, think of this. Think of the kids that are making seven figures.
They're not all.
Too much for them?
Yeah, it's too much. It's a waste of time.
Oh, this is the softest thing I think you've said
today. It's not. It's too many games.
It's why?
Because it's also a calendar thing. Like what are we going to play till March?
You can just start a week earlier. I mean, when do the playoffs start?
December 19th is the first.
Yeah, so you can start December 12th.
I'm saying we don't need the conference championship games anymore.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
And then you got to keep it at one group of five team. That can't expand.
So you're anti-underdog.
You can have one. You don't
like the little man, huh?
You can earn your way in and have more than that, but you only get one guaranteed.
Okay, so you got three from each Power Four. So that gets me to 12. You got one group of five that gets you to 13. So you're going 11 at-larges?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Is there any provisions for the automatic qualifiers? Do they get, any buys, any home field or anything?
This is where the conference championship thing is a problem. I'm going to acknowledge this. Because the winner of the conferences should get the bye, I think.
Okay.
And I know last year it kind of blew up. It wasn't great.
Yeah, because then we get the Arizona State, Boise State thing.
Yeah, but I think I'm fine with still having. I'm indifferent on this one. It can just be the top four teams, or it can be the conference champions.
Okay. Yeah, I really don't have a fight on either side of that. Either side, whatever they. If I have to accept one of those sides of the argument because that's what it takes to get to 24, I'm willing to sacrifice that to get me to 24. I'm a fan of 24 because I like 23 college football playoff games. Plus, U of H is ranked number 21 in the college football rankings today. They'd be in. Go Cougs. Can I give you my new favorite realistic college football playoff improvement?
Yes.
Because I've always been a, let's get some big, private you know, angel investor, private equity guy come in here, or lady, could be a lady too, and they come in here and they just buy college football for like $100 billion, and then they can have their liberties with how they want the league to be. Because if I was that, you know, angel investor, I'd be like, okay, here we go. We're going to 80 teams. We're going to be divided geographically. We're going to have 8 10-team conferences. We're playing 9 conference games. We're playing 3 non-con. We have a scheduler who's going to decide and dictate which of those games are played, not you. You're not making your own matchups. And then we're going to have our playoff based on automatic quality. But that's not realistic, right? That's not something that can happen. I think I have a way to save the college, the conference championship games while also improving the playoff. I prefer 24. I can live with a 16-team compromise too, though. Like, I don't hate that idea. 16's better than 12. It's better than 4 like it used to be. So I'm okay if it's at 16. But here's what I would do in a way to save the conference championship games too. Why don't these Power 4 conferences just go to 20 teams? And look, maybe eventually the ACC dies. Maybe the SEC poaches Clemson and North Carolina, and the Big Ten takes a couple of the schools they want, and then the rest go to the Big 12, and ultimately we get here anyways. But why not have the power conferences play, have 20 members, have 20 football playing teams? And we're already close there. What, the ACC has, what, 17?
I think so.
The SEC has 16. The Big Ten has a ton. The Big 12 has a ton. Like, it's not going to take a whole lot to get to 20 teams. And then once you have those 20 teams, what do? You bring back divisions. And you divide them into 2 10-team divisions. Because I love the idea of getting rid of the unbalanced schedule. Like, I think that you should have a balanced schedule. So you have power conferences with 20 members each. You divide them into divisions, and you play your 9 conference games within your division. And then the winner of each division goes to the conference title game, and it's a unique matchup that we've never really seen that often, right? Like, it's special. And if you want to throw a bye into that, or even a home game, maybe it doesn't have to be a bye. Maybe it's a home game. Because if you have a 16-team playoff, you're playing 8 games on somebody's campus. So maybe it's not a bye, but it's a home game. You're guaranteed one of the top 8 seeds if you win your conference championship game. So it adds some stakes to the conference title game. It is unique. It balances the schedules much, much better as well. I think they should be forced to go to 20 teams, divide them into 2. You play 9 conference games within your division, and then you have the cool conference championship matchup at the very end.
Like, I'm biased because of where I grew up, but I can't tell you how much I hate that idea.
Same. Why?
Because, look, it's the Big Ten, man. Like the way they split it for years was garbage.
We'll split it good.
But, like, how do you? How do you split it good?
You don't know what's going to be in the future. Like we said earlier, like, everything changes year to year with, like, which conferences are good, which teams within the conference are good.
But, like, well, here's the thing. Is that all of those also would get automatic qualifiers? So, like, you said 3 teams from each division are getting an automatic qualifier. I'd probably go to 4, and I would give each division 2 automatic qualifiers. So that means I'm getting 4 total for each conference, which puts you at 16, so that'd be the 2014 playoff route. I prefer to do it geographically, like whatever makes the most geographic sense. Big Ten would probably try to protect some rivalry games. Like, I imagine they would want to keep Ohio State and Michigan together, and that's what led to the, what was it, Legends and Leaders?
Yeah,
or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was Iowa. That was Iowa, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois, and Purdue.
Yeah, see, I would personally do it geographically. Now, I think what would be cool and innovative is that you could change it based on the year.
I'm with that.
You could just do like the snake, you know, like reverse order of standing. I mean, we see it in the NFL in a way. Like, they don't change their divisions, obviously, but they play strength of schedule games, right?
Yes.
So if you have 20 teams in the Big Ten or whatever, you put your first place team on the left division, and then you put your second and third place team on the right division, and then you alternate the rest of the way.
I mean, what's crazy about the Big Ten with this, though, like, let's say the ACC goes away.
Yeah, it could.
Let's say it's Stanford and Cal that end up in the Big Ten. Do you know what that ends up being?
The West.
The Big Ten and the Pac-12 in the same conference. That's all it is.
And you could call their conference championship game, Joe, the Rose Bowl.
Like, yes, it's insane. Like, that's literally, with the Big Ten at least, that's what we would be recreating. You had Oregon and USC and Washington and UCLA and Stanford and Cal. Like, they would just be, the Pac-12 would be within the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It would be bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, perfect world, you know, Cody Campbell just buys up college football. And here, okay, we got 80 teams, and we're going to go like old school. Like, we're going to bring back the Pac-12. We're going to bring back the Southwest Conference. You know, we're going to have the Big Ten. And all of these conferences have 10 teams. And then you play a 9-game round robin, and you have a true conference champion.
And you get your way here, because if you do this, Notre Dame has to join a conference.
They have to join a conference. They sold their soul to the devil, Cody Campbell.
If the ACC goes away, Notre Dame has to. Yeah. Because everyone would reject all their other sports without the football team.
Look, and this would be, I mean, now you're buying college football. So, like, you could have conference affiliation be different. Like, you would have different conferences and basketball and baseball and all of that. This would be strictly college football, which there are, I mean, they're separate entity right now also. Mm-hmm. Like, Division One college football, it's no longer called that. Now it's Football Bowl Subdivision. But that's the only level of college athletics that is not controlled by the NCAA. NCAA controls Division Two. It's no longer called that. But they control the championship subdivision. They control college basketball. They control baseball. Mm-hmm. They control all the Olympic sports. The only one they don't is football. So it kind of already is a separate entity.
Yeah, I think, to me, like, going to three conferences – And letting this just be, like, I really like that idea. The ACC, it's going to die. We all know it. We can see the writing on the wall. These teams are trying to leave. You just have to find a way to get out of this TV contract. And if they can find a way and take it to the courts, which I think they're going to try to do at some point, because Florida State and Clemson, these schools, they want to leave. It's going to be a three conferences. And I think that's better, frankly, at this point.
Yeah, I would want them to be round numbers, like 20, and I'd want them to be divided into two. And then however you figure out the division by two, I really don't care. Personally, I would do it geographically, because I like geographical rivals. I think it's fun. I think you get more rivalry there. So I prefer that. But if you wanted to do it – look, maybe you do it different by conference. Like, we see different tiebreakers by conference. Some conferences have had conference title games. Some haven't. Some have had divisions, some haven't. So, like, you can make your own little conference bylaws, too. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really matter so much to me. Yeah, I am intrigued what it looks like in, you know, 10 years. Is the ACC, you know, fall out the way of the pack? Does Clemson and North Carolina go to the SEC? Who, you know, which teams does the Big Ten want to poach away from the ACC? Who are left over? All of that. It's going to be pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, and really it feels like we're headed to ESPN has one conference. CBS has one conference, and then someone else has the other one, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, maybe.
Which I think it's going to be the NBC. I think that's the Notre Dame solution.
Wait, did you say Fox? You didn't say Fox, did you?
I know.
Oh, I mean, Fox already has the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah, Fox is. Well, they have they're split right between Fox and ESPN. Like, I think NBC is going to get into play here at some point. I think that's the Notre Dame solution. I hate to bring it back to them, but they're making $20 million a year from NBC. They're not going to give up that money. So I think the solution is NBC just takes over a conference.
Saying they have their own Longhorn Network?
No, I think they
kind of do.
Yeah, they do. Like, I think they take, like, the Big 12, and they just become the home for the Big 12 or the ACC or something at some point, and, like, that solves the problem. But it's all going to change. Yeah, it's all going to change. And
Cody Campbell,
I think it's going to change. I mean, I would love to see, like, one person step in. I don't think we're ever going to get. Do you think we'll ever get a commissioner?
See, the problem is that all of these conference commissioners have way too much power, and they don't want to lose their power, so they're going to prevent this with their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to sell their conference's rights to a big power broker, even if it means more money. Why? Because they lose their power. They are stripped of all of it, and they don't want to do that.
Which makes sense. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's self-preservation, but it's not in the best interest of the league or the sport, in my opinion. All right, whatever. Little fantasy talk. 713-780-3776. How about some baseball talk? Would you trade Jake Meyers for what if you did? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Higgins Boat Rum is what you need this holiday season. If you missed out for it on Thanksgiving, sorry about it, but you're going to need it in your hands for Christmas. Whether it's you drinking it yourself to get through those stressful days of spending a lot of time with your loved ones, or if you want to give it to your loved ones as a gift, it's best either way. It's rum on a mission, too. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas bourbon drinker's rum. I think it's why I fell in love with it so quick. It is bold. It is smooth. And then also, Sidebar, it's steeped in history. It honors the greatest generation. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Maybe you know that. You're a World War II buff. Maybe you already knew that. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits, though, from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans. So you are honoring heroes when you purchase a bottle of Higgins Boat Rum, and you're honoring heroes with every single pour. I like to pour it on a big rock. What about you? Do you like it neat? You like it on the rocks? Higgins Boat is fantastic. It's excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails, too. I've been drinking my old-fashioned with it. I hear the Manhattan with it is very good. The classics, of course, Pina Colada, Mai Tai, Cuba Libre. It's eggnog season. Eggnog's not really my thing, but it might be your thing. And if you're drinking eggnog, you need to have it with Higgins Boat Rum. Higgins Boat Rum uses the Percedo craft technology that, of course, we all love. Makes it smoother, enhances those natural flavors and aroma, and then removes the harsh elements. I want you to follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their socials. They have great social media content, very funny, but you're going to get tasty cocktail ideas, behind-the-scenes stories, and live updates as well. It's a premium top-shelf rum at a great price. You can get your bottle now, Total Wine in Baybrook. Just added it to the Total Wine in Pearland. And always at HigginsBoatRum.com. Ships to 48 states across the U.S. Makes a perfect gift. HigginsBoatRum.com. Bottling the spirit of excellence.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. 713-780-3776.
Is that accurate?
So, Joe, would you trade Jake Meyers?
Yes, I would trade Jake Meyers.
What would you need in return for Jake Meyers?
A good starting pitcher.
Okay. You sound like Ken Rosenthal.
Not a great starting pitcher, but a good one.
Define good. It's spots in the rotation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6. How good of a starting pitcher do you need him to be?
3.
Okay, yeah. All right, we're simpatico.
Because I don't think
the story. 713.
You're not getting a 2 for Jake Meyers.
No chance.
Now you could package something else with it potentially and try to do it, but I think you have guys in the organization that can fill the center field spot. Jake's value is probably never going to be higher than it was right now. There are a lot of teams that need help in center field, so I think that's an easy move, honestly, to move on from him and get a starting pitcher in, which you're not going to spend money most likely this offseason. So you got to find a different way to do it, and that's through trade.
Yeah. The Ken Rosenthal put this in The Athletic yesterday. A lot of those aggregator sites like to post free information on the internet. I think it's Bush League to post free information on the internet, so instead I do it on the radio. But it says Ken Rosenthal, and I'm citing him, Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic. He says the Astros are open to moving Jake Meyers for a controllable major league starter, according to people briefed on their discussions. I'm willing to do that too, Joe. Like, Meyers has 2 more years left on his deal. I think there's a very real chance we just saw Jake Meyers' career highs in offense. Like, I don't think we'll see Jake Meyers have as good of an offensive season that he just had. So you're trading a guy when his value is at his highest. I like trading players when their value is at their highest. They should have done it with Chaz McCormick coming off that World Series year, by the way. But if people would have been like, oh, no, you can't do that. Well, that's when his value is at his highest. That's when you can get the most for him. I would do the same for Jake. And look, I'm a Jake guy. I've defended Jake. People have always been like, Chaz, better than Jake. I realize what Jake is, though. Like, Jake's an average offensive player, plays very good defense. I think he would make a good amount of money if he was a free agent, like probably $10, $12, $15 million AAV. I think you can get something of value for him. I think they're ultimately going to find a controllable major league starter for Jake Meyers, which, by the way, the Astros have to clear a spot on their 40-man roster for that Weiss guy that they got from the KBO. So maybe it's Meyers, maybe it's Jesus Sanchez, maybe it's some bum who they're going to DFA. We'll see. But no, I'm with you. I have no problem trading Jake Meyers. I think he's a good defensive player, very good defensive player. I'm not sure that the drop-off defensively is that big a deal whenever you have Melton and Cole there, because I think Melton and Cole are both going to be good defenders as well. So I don't think the drop-off there is major. You would love for one of those guys to be solid offensively so you don't feel any sort of drop-off with the bat. I also wouldn't hate the idea of experimenting with Cam Smith in center field, something that they thought about doing last year. I don't hate it if it's only against left-handed pitching. I don't need to see it every day, but you probably don't want to see Jacob Melton and Zach Cole play against lefties. What's your solution? Cam Smith, go play center field whenever we're facing a left-handed pitcher. So I would experiment with that as well. You know, I think his bat plays a little bit more in center than it would in right because you don't find offensive players as good in center as you do in right. So I think it makes a lot of sense, especially if you can get that starter that we both want.
Yeah, I think it seems like there's a lot of teams. I think the Orioles have been mentioned a couple times as someone that's going to be interested in Jake Meyers. I think officially they lost Cedric Mullins today to the Tampa Bay Rays. So, like, that's someone you could explore. I mean, they just acquired a starting pitcher, right, last
Who?
Week? No, the Orioles. No, they traded away a starting pitcher.
Yeah, they traded one for an outfielder.
Yeah, for Taylor Ward. That's also, man, maybe that does take them out potentially. But it's – I just don't think – I think the need here for the Astros, it really is – it's pitching. It's not center field, to your point. They have other guys that can do the job and fill the gap enough. You need help in your rotation. So I'm – if again, I don't think they're going to sign anyone of consequence. So I think you have to make a trade.
For a quality starter, yeah. CU letter Jake, says a junkie. Yeah, we all agree here. This is very boring. Cron.com yesterday, one of the websites I frequent early in the morning. So the Cron.com is different than Houston Chronicle. We all know that, right? Cron.com, same company, but different, like, you know, business model. They operate differently. Sometimes they share authors, but they operate differently. Cron's not a pay website. It's an advertiser website, blah, 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 blah. So they'll get a lot of these stories from The Athletic, and then they'll, like, put the story out there, like, hey, this guy's reporting this. And then their headline sometimes cracked me up. The headline yesterday said that Jake Meyers is a fan favorite and a face of the golden era. Let's peel back one layer of the onion at a time here. Do you think that Jake Meyers is a fan favorite?
No.
I don't either. In fact, I think Jake Meyers up until last season was, like, despised. Like, people didn't like Jake. Like, they wanted more Chaz. They didn't like noodle arm Jake Meyers. Like, I don't think he's a fan favorite. Like,
no,
maybe
he's not.
He won some, maybe he curried some favor this past season, but fan favorite seems a little bit like a reach. How about a face of the golden era?
He's like the 15th face.
I'm not sure he makes the roster.
15's way too high, Joe.
I'm not sure he makes the roster of the face of the golden era.
Yeah.
I could not believe what I saw.
And he's not even the
face. I was stunned.
He's not even the center field face of the last World Series.
No.
He's not even the face of the 2025 team.
Yeah.
Much less
his best
the golden era.
Yeah, you're right, Brian. He might be 40.
Face of the goal. I was like, what are we doing over there, guys? Like, I like to farm engagement, but this is next level.
Yeah, it's extreme.
This and it worked.
They
do
a great job.
We're talking about it.
I read a Cron.com story for the first time in, like, forever yesterday.
What was it?
I'm going to get to it in Chunky of the Day.
Oh, okay. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Philip wants in. Philip, you're into the junkyard. What's up, Philip?
Hey guys, I don't mind moving Jake Meyers. He's obviously far from untouchable, but I think we forget a little bit of the value of maybe having the defense and then the solid hitting. He's not a great offensive player, but he's not a hole in the lineup. But at the same time, all the things you say about selling high and maybe it's kind of a fluke year he had. The other teams all think the same thing, too. So it's not like you're going to get a ton for him. And if you're just going to get a back-of-the-rotation arm similar to a bunch that you have already, I just don't see him being moved for that. Maybe as a package, if you're bundling him with Bryce Matthews and Jacob Melton and somebody else, and you're getting a veteran number three starter, Pablo Lopez, Sonny Gray-level type pitcher, I could see that. But I'm in no hurry to move him. As you guys point out, I mean, he's under club control. He doesn't cost a ton. He plays a neat position. And they can always move him at the deadline if they need more pitching. At the same time, it's like you always got to listen to offers.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'll point out, and it's a real quick, a minor one, but something to think about. With Fromber gone, Fromber was such an extreme ground ball pitcher. If they replace Fromber and the guy that they replace him with is more of a fly ball pitcher, that could impact maybe the need for defense in the outfield.
and stress a little bit some of the younger guys with less experience, like putting Cam Smith in center field where he's never played, and you got a pitcher that's going to be putting up more fly balls out there for him versus somebody like Fromber that you almost have a night off when you're in the outfield with. So just one thing to think about in the back of your mind. That's all. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Philip. I think that's fair. My only counter to the deadline discussion is Sherry's going to be healthy.
Yeah, he does have some proneness to injury.
Like he's proneness to injury, and we all said that we think this is his best offensive performance. What if he stinks this year?
No, yeah.
This is your moment.
Value. I think Philip made some really good points. They are losing a ground ball guy, a fly ball guy. You want a better defender. I just don't think that the drop-off defensively is massive. Like, I think Jacob Melton can play a very good defensive center field. I think Zach Cole can play a good defensive center field. So the fact that I don't think it's a massive drop-off defensively makes me not mind it as more. But it sounds like what we need in return, I think we all agree, Joe, I, Philip, is that you would want a clear-cut number three. You don't want another back-of-the-rotation starter. I agree with him on that point.
Can I throw a name at you?
Give me a clear three. Yeah.
What do you think of Kota Senga, the ghost ball pitcher from the Mets?
No.
Because he's been – I'm just curious. Like, they
need
some outfield
help.
The
Astros get their KBO guys that are white. They want American guys out of the KBO.
Yeah, it's just he's one of the names that's being floated out there that the Mets are trying to move him. His numbers are good, and they're not spectacular, but he's also injury-prone a little bit. So just one that, like, I was like, that might make sense if the Mets need some outfield help of guys, like, also on the market.
No, I wouldn't. I trust whichever one of the pitching coaches of Murphy and Miller that stuck around. I trust that guy. Like, if that guy says, yeah, I can do something with him, okay, cool. I trust you. You get the best of these guys.
Don't really
so if
trust...
he likes Senga, okay, I like Senga.
Yeah, though I don't think I trust Yiner to catch something called a ghost ball.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
Don't think that would go very,
very
well.
Very, very tough. All right, 713-780-3776. Junkie of the day. Who's your junkie of the day? Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Affordability, it's the biggest problem right now in today's car market. Vehicles are averaging nearly $48,000 in most people's wages. They're not keeping up with that. And that's why some people are stuck with these seven-year loans just to make the payments work. At D&M Leasing, they solve that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, in terms that make sense. Right now, they've got no payments until 2026, so time's a ticking to get that done for no payments until 2026. All you got to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 to speak with one of their leasing agents. They will walk you through the process. They will figure out the kind of car you want to get in. They'll talk to you about all the mileage and all the different things that goes into leasing a car. So if you've never done it before, don't be afraid. They've got people who are well-trained and ready to take care of that for you. Check them out right now, dmautoleasing.com, or call 713-290-1000 for no payments until 2026, and tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We're going to be out at East River 9 on Friday, 11 to 3. Special broadcast hosted by Glenn Davis and Joe George. We'll be breaking down where each country soccer team is headed this summer. Must-watch groups. Tune into the draw this Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Draw is presented by D&M Leasing, home of the Easy Lease. The bench will be out there in the morning. Mark Berman, legendary Mark Berman, will be with Jabroni Jeremy Branham from 3 to 6 at East River 9. All right, Junkie of the Day, Joe, what you got?
Yeah, I read this story in the Cron. This lady, she has accused Ronnie Killen of murdering her son on TikTok. Have you seen this story?
Hold on. She accused Ronnie Killen?
Yes, of killings.
Allegedly?
Of killing her son. Okay?
Okay.
Her son is a stuffed monkey named Leroy.
All right.
So did he kill it?
No.
So the stuff we're talking about.
Do we know?
Today,
yes.
Huh?
She said, last seen May 30th, 2025 between HEB and Killens.
What are we doing here?
It went viral. I read the story and I was like, I cannot believe people are actually writing about this.
We don't know that Ronnie Killen didn't kill that monkey.
You're right.
Oh, we don't know that.
This stuffed monkey.
We don't know that.
Junkie of the day, this lady.
Is this what y'all talk about in the bullpen?
No.
My goodness.
Sometimes.
Honestly, it might be this weekend.
It might be.
12-2 on Saturday at LaBerge and 10-12 on Sunday.
How did that just make air?
What? It's a funny story. Read it. It's
no
crazy.
No fun, Jeremy.
I will not be reading that.
What's wrong? I watched the TikTok. This lady's out of her mind.
Zero fun, sir.
That's Jeremy.
Pitmaster of killing her stuffed animal.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, Ronnie killed in. Yep. I mean, it's right there.
And she keeps
there for us the whole time.
And she keeps writing "Leroy died here" in purple lipstick on the side of the restaurant. And I feel bad he has to repaint it every time he said because it's like staining. But every time.
I met him once on the sideline of a, what, I think it was a U of H game at NRG.
Name drop Jeremy.
He's got a great beef rib, Ronnie
he
Killen.
He does.
Great
awesome.
Beef rib. I'm going to nominate Giannis for deleting all the Buck stuff from social media. I don't understand why these guys do this. They go scrub their social media accounts when they want out. Like, you're a child. You're a grown man, dude. Like, you can leave the stuff and demand a trade professionally.
Mm-hmm.
You're a junkie for doing that childish behavior. Makes me sick. Brian?
I'll nominate Jeremy for putting forth a cash of trash that he didn't believe in.
Kind of believe it.
I'm going to nominate Jeremy for not going to get the station right.
Yeah, I struggle with that, man.
Sorry,
I'm conditioned. I'm like Pavlov's dog.
It's like day three.
All right, what wins?
You, because you got to give takes for the cash or trash.
They'd be better for the league.
Yeah, but then believe it.
All right, does it for us. I'm not sure what won. Thank you, Brian, for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Glenn Davis, Destination 2026, right now.
ESPN 97.5.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.